Tonight, go to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. We're going to be in verses 22 through 33. We continue our study through the book of Acts, and that last song just plays right into the message tonight and where the disciples are in their life as they obviously are doing the will of God that they've been called to do. And we'll see tonight where these disciples, they're not moved in their faith, they're not moved in their stand on what they believe in, and they're not moved by the opposition and by the adversary to stop doing what God's called them to do, even when they are put in prison and the Holy Spirit of God comes and releases them out of prison. And I mean, it's a good song, but it's a song to really think about what in this world would cause us to move away from the Lord. What in this world would cause us to move away from our faith in Christ? What would cause us to stop believing in the truths of God's word and to stop even proclaiming those truths through our life that we have been given by the Lord Jesus Christ? Acts chapter 5, in fact, I'm going to start at verse 17 and read down to 33. So Acts chapter 5, verse 17 through 33. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, "Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they were turned and told, saying, "The prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within." Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, "Behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, "Did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him." When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, we ask that you would please bless our time. Father, we ask that you'd bless the reading of your word, that, Lord, you would minister to our hearts tonight through the word. I pray, Father, Holy Spirit would do what his ministry is, that he, Father, would take the word of God into our hearts. Lord, teach us the things that we need to learn tonight. Remind us of the things we need to remember. But Father, through it all, we want to be drawn closer to you. We want our faith to be strengthened. Father, we want to have a resolve in our hearts and in our spirit, Lord, that we'll always follow the Lord Jesus Christ, even when there is opposition. And Father, you've already told us in your word that all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution in some form. There's going to be opposition to our faith, opposition to the stand that we have on the word of God and on, obviously, the promises of God and on our belief and faith in Jesus Christ. But thank you, Father, that we are on the winning side. We have victory because Jesus Christ has given us the victory. But, Lord, we do ask, please, Lord, speak to our hearts tonight. Guide us according to your will, for it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. I mean, right off the bat, I mean, we just see where, again, the apostles are being they are being opposed by these religious rulers. But again, I want to remind us that when opposition comes, it's not always, I should say, the person that is opposing you. There is a spiritual force behind that opposition, and that is your adversary and my adversary, the devil. Because again, the devil does not want anyone to hear the truth. He wants to keep people in the dark. He wants to keep you weak in your faith. He doesn't want you to grow in your faith. He doesn't want you to grow through the truth of God's word. He definitely does not want you to be bold as a lion, as the Bible tells us, to be bold as a lion, gentle as a dove. He doesn't want you to be bold in your faith. And in the days that these apostles are living, I mean, they are persecuted time and time again. And just even these Sadducees and the high priests and those that are there, I mean, they can't even bring themselves to say the name Jesus. They just say, didn't we tell you not to teach in this name? Because again, there's power in that name. There's comfort in the name of Jesus Christ. There's wisdom. There's direction and guidance in the name of Jesus Christ. And the name of Jesus Christ does encourage the believer. It encourages those who are looking for peace to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I mean, several weeks ago, it's probably been maybe even a couple months where in chapter 3, where Peter and John go up to the temple, and there's the lame man there, and Peter just says, he basically says, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. I mean, that's all the man had to do was put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and he did. I mean, why would these religious rulers, why would the high priest, the Sadducees, be so angry that the name of Jesus is being proclaimed? Why would they be so angry that people are putting their faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Their lives are being changed. Some are being physically helped as well as spiritually helped. And we'll see just throughout the scriptures where these are truly, these religious rulers are truly the wolves in sheep's clothing. They are the ministers of Satan. They are the ones that have been transformed into an angel of light, that they are supposed to be leading people's God, leading God's people in the right way, but obviously they're wanting to devour God's people because they're not on the Lord's side. But as the church began to move forward, though, they began to face the opposition from the adversary, and no doubt Jesus warned that they would. He warned they would face that opposition. And even though the apostles were imprisoned here in verse 17, they were imprisoned for their faith and imprisoned for what they were teaching and preaching, not because a life had been impacted in a great way, not because people were being added to the church, but again, they wanted the name of Christ to be stopped. Again, just even as the song that we sang about the Bible, you know, standing upon God's word. From the beginning, God's word has been fought against. The truths of God's word, the truth of Jesus Christ have been fought against, but it can never be destroyed. It can never be destroyed. No matter how much man fights against it, no matter how much the adversary wants to destroy the word of God and the truth of Jesus Christ, they cannot. But tonight I want us to think about the fact that as they will say, we'd rather obey God than man. That needs to be our heart, that we are to always obey the Lord, that we're to always follow the Lord Jesus Christ because he'll always protect us. I mean, again, all throughout Scripture, you see people that obey the Lord, obey in trusting the Lord, and the Lord always takes care of them. And we got to, the Lord never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Lord never changes, and he will continue to protect his people that will stand up for what is right and stand on the promises of his word. In verses 22 through 25, I want us to see, though, that even though the apostles were imprisoned, they were let out of prison, and they continued to do what the Lord had commanded them to do. When you look at verse 22, it says, "But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they were turned and told, saying, 'The prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keeper standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within.'" Now, obviously, the Lord had brought them out. The Lord had sent his angel, brought them out, and told them to go stand in the temple and continue teaching and preaching all the words of this life to the people. Now, the miracle of their release had been specifically intended to let them continue preaching. Again, like I said, though they were physically shut up, the adversary wanted to spiritually shut them up to where they would not continue to be a testimony. Now, you and I have been redeemed tonight. We have been set free by the power of Christ. The devil has no authority over us anymore. He has no no control over us. We should not give him any room in our life. We should not give him any access through any avenues, whether anger, whether purposely sinning. Again, we're still sinners by grace, and God knows our frame is but dust. He knows we make mistakes, and we will make mistakes, but we should never purposely give the devil any room in our life, because again, our adversary still wants to put people into prison. He still wants to cause you to think that you're in prison, that you have no victory. But as the angel came and let these men out, it proves that once you're set free by Christ, you are free indeed. The devil cannot chain you back up. He cannot put you back in prison. Now, again, they were physically in prison, but just like Paul and Silas sitting in the Philippian jail, the devil wants to spiritually get us in prison, spiritually cause our minds to think things that are not true, cause us to think, well, what's the point of trying anymore? The more I try, it seems like there's more opposition, seems like there's more spiritual battle. But again, the Lord has told us that there will be spiritual battles, and that's why we are to equip ourselves with God's armor so that we can withstand the wiles of the devil. And having done all, the Bible said, to stand, standing in the strength of the Lord. Again, they were let out of prison so that they could continue preaching the word of God and seeing people's lives changed. Look, if you would, let's see here, back up if you would. In verse number 19, but the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they had heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. Now, here in a few moments, we're going to see where they address the Sanhedrin and they say, we'd rather obey God than man. And it's very important, again, that we have that mindset, that we have that heart, that I always want to obey what the Lord is leading me to do, what the Lord is convicting my heart to do, what God's word says. We always want to be quick to obey, because if you notice, again, they entered the temple early in the morning. They did not drag their feet. They did not wait until it was the right timing, but they just immediately, as soon as they were able to get there and the doors were open, they got into the temple and continued to do what God had told them to do. Look with me, if you would, at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I believe that God orchestrates everything. I believe the Lord directs. I mean, when we even started in the book of Acts several months ago, the Lord always knows. The Lord knows where we're at in our life at different times. And it amazes me. It still amazes me that at different times as we go through the Bible, as you do your own personal Bible devotion and Bible reading daily, that there are times where you find yourself in a portion of Scripture that goes right along with what you're facing in life. And when I think about where we're at in our history, where we're at just in human history, where we're at in America, there's going to be more opposition against our faith, against the church in our country. It's coming. Right now, people are threatened with their jobs. Do this or don't have a job. Do this or you can't go into the store. I mean, think about just in certain states, they already cannot go and buy groceries if they don't have the vaccine. Okay, they're already using that to pressure people into doing what the government wants. Now, it may not seem like a big deal. Well, at least, you know, at least that's not happening here in Michigan. But listen, eventually it will spill over into the church where they will start persecuting the church. Because, again, the Bible tells us that. And what we have to do as we go through the scriptures and we look, we have to already be determined in our own heart and our own walk with the Lord that we will continue to be faithful to our faithful God. We will continue to obey the Lord and let the Lord be in control of our life because He's given us our new life. He's given us the life that we have. We're new creatures in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Again, it's about obeying the Lord, all right? It's about following the Lord. The Lord will never lead you astray. The Lord will always protect you, all right? And again, as we see in Scripture, opposition comes. The persecution comes. When you look at 1 Thessalonians, I might have said 2 Thessalonians, but it's 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you that it was not in vain. And this is Paul writing to the believers at Thessalonica, but even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. Now, Paul mentions Philippi, and we know what happened at Philippi. And Paul is saying, he's even telling the believers at Thessalonica, you know what happened to us at Philippi, but that has not caused us to diminish our message. It has not caused us to waver in our faith. It has not caused us to waver in our stand upon the truths of God's word and on who Jesus Christ is. Again, when you look at Acts chapter 5 again, these apostles are standing on the promise. They're standing on the foundation of Jesus Christ, and that is what helps them to continue in their faith, even when they're told, don't speak in that name. They continue to speak in that name because they know there is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. It is the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's none other name that we can call upon that we can receive the strength that we need to continue on in God's will for our life. Now look at verse 26 through 28. Again, they continued on in what God had told them to do. They were not going to allow themselves to be silenced. They were not going to allow themselves to be intimidated. They were going to do exactly what the Lord had said. And don't you know, wouldn't that be an encouragement to your faith to be literally sitting in prison and an angel of the Lord comes to you, brings you out of the prison? I mean, that would be an encouragement to me that, okay, I'm on the Lord's side. I mean, He's watching over me. But you know what? Every day He watches over you. Every day He does great and mighty things in your life. Now, obviously, they were physically, literally in prison, and the angel of the Lord came and brought them out. But again, every day the Holy Spirit reminds us that, hey, you're not in prison anymore. The Lord has set you free. The Lord has set you free. Again, we have an adversary that wants to cause you, and I say you just as in people, just that he wants to cause you to think that, you know what, you're in prison. Again, I mean, I'm looking forward to our Christmas play and what it's centered around and what the theme of it is, because it's what a lot of people struggle with. A lot of people are faced with suicide. They think that's the only way out, and it's a lie from the devil. The devil has entrapped their minds to cause them to think that's the only way to get peace. That's the only way to get away from your problems. And obviously it's not, because there's more problems after that if they're not saved. When you think about just our adversary, we have to, if we will continue to follow the Lord and obey the Lord and obey His leading in our life and allow Him to be in control of our life, we will find ourselves getting victory more than we are now. When you look at verse 26 through 28, we just see the contention of the persecutors. Verse 26, then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence. I mean, they go into the temple, they get the disciples, without violence because they feared the people lest they should have been stoned. I mean, the fact that these men are afraid of the people, but you know what? It's a right fear because these men were obviously men of God. They had the Holy Spirit upon their life. They had the power of God upon their life. And people were listening to them. People's lives were being changed. Now, again, we see these men come just to bring them before the Sanhedrin council. But they feared the people lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, which basically are just the teachings of Christ, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. The doctrine that they speak about, obviously, is the doctrine of salvation in Jesus Christ. But the disciples were judged, like I said, by the Sanhedrin Council. I just want us to understand the Sanhedrin Council. It was the religious supreme court of the Jewish people. The Sanhedrin routinely sat in judgment on new teachings and cult groups that sprang up. They were the ones that were to examine people that had doctrine and teachings that were different and contrary to the Word of God and cult groups. But their anger at the apostles, they were angered at the apostles because they thought that after Jesus had been crucified just several weeks prior to this, not too much longer after Jesus was crucified, they assumed that all the people would be dispersed. They would assume the teachings would stop and they would not hear the name of Jesus anymore because they were the adversary. They were the ones that wanted to get rid of Jesus along with the Pharisees. But they, obviously, they're angered because it wasn't working. It wasn't working. In fact, the more that they persecuted them, the more that the word of God spread, the more that lives were touched, the more lives were changed, people were being healed, and people were being drawn to the Lord. 3,000 on the day of Pentecost, 5,000 a few days later. I mean, they just could not get it to stop. I mean, you just even think about just the world history, and you think about the crusades that went on in our history and how people were being killed for their faith because they would not turn from Christ. And yet the more people were persecuted in this world for their faith, the more the faith grew. Because listen, even in your daily walk, if you find opposition to you trying to live for the Lord and you trying to get close to the Lord, then you know that you're doing something right. You know that if there's opposition in your life to get closer to God, to read your Bible more, to pray more, you find more and more resistance, you're on the right path, you're going in the right direction. Because honestly, if there's no resistance to our faith, if there's no resistance to our relationship with Christ, then more than likely, we're not trying to get closer to the Lord. We're not trying to follow the Lord. We're just trying to get along. But again, because Scripture says that all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, it may come physically, but it will come spiritually, no doubt, because we're in a spiritual battle, and God warns about that, that our adversary, as a roaring lion. In fact, look at 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Again, you know that you have victory in Jesus Christ, but again, we're still warned, we're still admonished to be wise that, you know what, we do have an adversary, and we've got to be mindful of the fact that we do have an adversary, and he is roaming about. Look at verse number 8, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Again, like I said, he can't take your salvation. That's a gift from God, but he wants to devour. He wants to devour the minds of young people. He wants to devour the minds of older people. He wants to devour the lives of God's people, and he can't do it unless we allow him. He can't do it unless we allow him. That's why it's important that we continue to fill ourselves with the Word of God, allowing the Word of God to dwell richly in our hearts while we continue to draw close to the Lord while He draws close to us. Because there is contention in the persecutors, or contention of the persecutors. The disciples were judged by their message. In Acts chapter 4, verse 4, "Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. I mean, just in Acts chapter 4, 5,000 added to not just the church there in Jerusalem, but 5,000 added to the kingdom of God. 5,000 added. 5,000 names added to the Lamb's Book of Life. That's 5,000 souls taken away from the devil. That's 5,000 souls whose lives have been changed. 5,000 people whose lives have been changed. That doesn't make the devil happy. Because when a sinner comes to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he totally loses grip on that life. He no longer has authority over that life. He no longer has any room in that life. That life has been redeemed by Jesus Christ, and he's angry about that. And he will use his ministers to try to defeat what God's people are doing. They were judged for their message because their message was Christ-centered. Notice again what they say in verse 28, saying, "Did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name?" Again, the devil hates the name of Jesus Christ, and so do his followers. His followers, those are, and I say followers, those that even are not saved. There's many people that they don't like the name of Christ because Jesus Christ demands authority. Jesus Christ, I mean, he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we live in a world where people want to be their own God. They want to be their own authority. They don't like to have somebody over them. And in order to admit that Jesus Christ is right is to say I'm wrong. And not too many people want to admit that they're wrong. They would rather the person who's right just to be quiet. Again, did not we straitly command you not to teach in this name? They were judged for their message because their message was Christ-centered. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 36, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." I mean, these religious rulers, they just cannot get away from the gospel. They cannot get away from the name of Christ. They thought they had done him in. They thought they had gotten rid of him. But you never can get rid of Jesus Christ. And they hated their message because it was full of the truth of who Jesus Christ is and how Jesus Christ can change a life. Because their message was filled with salvation by faith and deliverance from sin, and the fact the Holy Spirit of God comes into a born-again life to give them the guidance and the comfort that they need remaining in the life that they have to live on this earth. They hated their message. But listen, nobody likes to be hated. I like to be liked by everybody. That was kind of my downfall as a teenager. I wanted everybody to like me, so I did everything everybody wanted me to do so I would be liked, and it got me into a lot of trouble. You know what? That peer pressure does not disappear when you become an adult. The devil still wants you to walk contrary to the ways of God. The flesh, just the flesh alone, the flesh wants to be accepted. The flesh wants to do things to protect itself. The flesh doesn't want to stand out. But when you see just in these verses, look at verses 29 through 33, or through 32, 29 through 32, you're going to see where the disciples, they were not intimidated. They were not pressured in changing their faith and changing their convictions or their stand. In verse 29, "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men." Let me just stop there and say this. When we do put God first, he gives us the boldness to stand upon the promises. He gives us the boldness to stand upon what we believe. He helps us to resist the devil. Again, they're being intimidated. They're being threatened. But because they were willing to say, we ought to obey God, God's the one that tells us what to do and what to say, then obviously God gave them favor. God helped them in this matter. Look at verse 30. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. I mean, they're telling the Sanhedrin council, they're telling the high priest the truth. You guys are the ones that ordered his death. You wanted him dead. But verse 31, him, Jesus, hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Again, these religious rulers did not have the Spirit of God. They did not have the power of God upon them. They were men that were holding people under their thumb and under their control for their own gain, for their own power. And yet, they testify that the Holy Spirit is given to everyone that obeys the Lord in believing on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. But these men were convicted in their stand. And I want us to really think about our convictions. Now, I don't need to be convicted in my heart whether something's right or not that God points out. When I read my Bible and God says, thou shalt not lie, I'm not really convicted about that. I think I can lie. I think I can get away with it. I'll just 1 John 1:9 it, as some people have that mindset. I'll just 1 John 1:9 it, and God has to forgive me. Hold your finger in Acts chapter 5. Go to 1 John chapter 1. Because I want us to, and I also understand that we need the power of God upon our life. We want the presence of the Lord to continue, and it will. He'll never leave you nor forsake you, but we don't want to quench the Holy Spirit. We don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. We really do want to be able to, with the love of Christ, stand upon the promises, the truths of God's word, all right? But in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, I say this because, again, I've known of people that said, well, I can do it and confess it later, and God has to forgive me. The Bible also teaches us not to act upon our presumption that God will, okay? Because God will chasten his children. But it says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is absolutely true. That's the truth of God's word. And you know what? It lets me know that when I mess up, I can go to my Heavenly Father and let him know I messed up. And with a right heart, confess it to him. He will forgive you. He'll forgive you of your sins, no doubt. He'll cleanse you with the blood of Jesus Christ. But what I want us to understand is that we do need convictions on our relationship with God, convictions that, you know what, the Lord will help me. How was it that Daniel was able to face the den of lions? How was it that those three Hebrews could face a fiery furnace? How was it that Paul was able, after all the things that he lists in one of his letters, everything that he faced on his journeys as a missionary, how was he able to continue on and to finish the course that God had given him? Because he was convicted in his heart that God was enough for him, and God's power upon his life and the grace of Jesus Christ in his life was sufficient for him to finish the race that he was put into by the Lord. And again, when you think about what they're saying, Peter, in verse 29 of Acts chapter 5, Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. They were convicted in their hearts that God is in control. God will take care of the matter. We are just to continue faithfully following, faithfully getting closer to him, faithfully obeying what he's asked us to do. Their answer was immediate. They did not hold their own counsel to see how they should answer, all right? Obedience should always be quick on our part when it comes to obeying the Lord.
as a parent,
I expect my children to obey immediately. Now, as most children, they don't always obey immediately. You've got to, like, maybe a third time, out of grace, giving them a third chance to obey. But again, even when I have to get on to a child, I tell them, I expect you to obey the first time. I expect you to obey right away. The Lord wants us to obey right away. He does not want us to give any place or any room to the devil. He wants us to obey with a right heart and with a heart of not just obedience, but a heart of faith that we trust the Lord. Again, they were already in prison. They were taken out of prison. They have no idea what they may face now, but they still are resolved in their hearts that they're going to obey God and let God handle the situation. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 9, Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to obey, or in the sight of God to hearken unto you, more than unto God, judge ye. We need to always be obedient to the Lord and to be quick about it. Again, we never want to give place to the devil. If we have to sit there and think about whether or not we should do what the Lord is wanting us to do, again, let me just even throw out this. I mean, again, the Lord wants us to live in a Christ-like manner. He wants us to live in a way that exemplifies Christ in our life, exhorts Christ in our life, and magnifies Christ to others through our life. Again, it would not be right for me to go into a bar because that's not a place that God would want me to go. Oh, but I could almost justify it by, well, I'm going in there to hand out tracts. But you know what? When I come out and a church member happens to drive by, just happens to look over, and they don't know what I'm doing in there. All they see is me coming out of a bar. And what's the first thought? I knew it. Right? It's usually, I knew it. No, it's like, oh my, what's he doing there? And just, you know, the thoughts go like, oh, something's not right. I mean, what I'm saying is that God lets you know what's right and what's wrong. These men have an opportunity, and they took the opportunity to stand on their faith and not allow themselves to be pressured in not doing what God had asked them to do and told them to do. Because remember, again, in verse 20, they were told, go, stand, and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And early in the morning, they entered into the temple. So they're able to boldly say to these, to the Sanhedrin, to these religious rulers, that we ought to obey God rather than men. And if you have obeyed the Lord at all, you know there's a blessing that comes with it. Just a blessing to know that, you know what, the Lord helped you to do what was right. It was good to obey the Lord. It was good to follow the Lord's leading. It was good to allow the grace of God to help you in that moment when maybe you were resisting. I mean, I can remember the night that I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I grew up, I went to church until a certain age. And then some things happened in my family, and I stopped going to church. I turned from the Lord. I started living contrary to the Lord. But I remember the night, my wife, and you know the story, but my wife sweetly just said, honey, you're going to hell. And she rolled over and went to sleep. And I was left there, and there was a struggle. Because I knew God existed. I knew heaven was real. But I had gone so far away from him that I thought, and I was struggling, like, well, you know, tomorrow. I just remember that. I remember the struggle. I remember hearing, tomorrow. You can do it tomorrow. It's late at night. Do it tomorrow. And then just the overwhelming, I don't know how you describe it, but just being, I guess, told, no, now is the time. Don't put it off. And just that struggle, because, again, the devil He doesn't want us to obey the Lord. He doesn't want us to obey the leading of the Lord. And definitely he wants to keep somebody in the dark and keep someone from getting saved. Now, obviously, on that night, I did give my life to the Lord and called upon the Lord to be my Savior. But again, that testing has not stopped. There comes times in our life where the test is to either follow the Lord's leading or to not follow the Lord's leading. To let the Lord's grace work in your life to give you the boldness, to give you the confidence, to keep trusting the Lord, to keep obeying the Lord, to do what God's asked you to do or not to do it. Again, I've never been faced with someone threatening me to stop talking about the Lord. My life has not been threatened. But when we look at these apostles, their life is being threatened. And yet, they still trust the Lord, they still follow the Lord, and they still say we ought to obey God. And by them saying we ought to obey God, it's not just like a child saying, you know, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. Their obedience speaks about their trusting God. God's given them something to do, and they're trusting God will take care of the adversary, that God will help them to continue to fulfill his will in their life. Because their message was of truth, and the religious people, they did not like that. Like I said before, they thought they had gotten rid of Jesus. They thought that all his followers were just, they would scatter, the messages would stop, but they didn't stop, and they did not like that. Didn't like the fact that they mentioned that Jesus was raised from the dead. In fact, when you look, look with me at verse number 30, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. They know the tomb is empty. They know the tomb is empty because on that morning, several weeks before this moment, there were some guards that were placed at the tomb. Remember, the religious rulers went to Pilate and said, "We want you to set a watch because we know that he said that he would rise again." And they set the watch. They had those guards, and those guards came and told what had happened after they came to, because they fainted at the sight of the angel that showed up. The Bible says they became as dead men. And they knew what happened, and yet they were paid to say that his disciples stole the body away. So it's not that these men that are on this council and the high priest, it's not that they're, you know, ignorant of what they're talking about. They know exactly what they're talking about. They know exactly what they're talking about. And they did not like the fact that they were mentioning that Jesus rose from the grave. They didn't like the fact that they were exalting Jesus Christ. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9, the Bible says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth." There's power in the name of Jesus Christ. And they preached, obviously, that Jesus is the Savior. He's the Son of God, and he's the Savior. Remember back in Luke chapter 2 and verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." I mean, just very soon, right around the corner, we're going to be celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. And again, I know there's a lot of debate on that, whether or not we should celebrate, you know, Christmas. Look, celebrate the birth of Christ, because he robed himself in human flesh so he could die for humans, that he could die for the sins of the world and give life. And that's exactly what the devil tried preventing. And he wants to prevent people from coming to the Lord. He wants to prevent your life from being changed any more than what it is. He wants to prevent you and myself from growing in the Lord and from trusting the Lord more and speaking about the Lord Jesus and what he's done in our life. In Luke chapter 5, verse 24, again, their message was about Jesus Christ, about his resurrection, and about the forgiveness of sins. Jesus said in Luke 5, verse 24, "But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins." He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And what a wonderful, wonderful day it was for that man who had his four friends bring him to the house where Jesus was. Four friends carrying this unnamed man on a cot, lowering him down through the roof because they couldn't get in the front door because of all the people. Yet they didn't give up. They brought their friend up on the roof, lowered him down. And Jesus, seeing their faith, and says to the man, thy sins are forgiven. And yet the Pharisees that are there, boy, they're there, I mean, they're like, oh, who can forgive sins but God? Exactly, because Jesus is God. But again, he makes that statement, but that ye may know if the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. Again, there are those that are against the truth. There are those that want to shut up the truth. There are those that want to silence the truth. But again, Jesus Christ has redeemed us. He has set us free. The devil cannot chain up God's people, but God's given us the Holy Spirit to fulfill God's will in our life, to help us to continue on. And I say it because, again, we're living in the times right now where, again, the devil doesn't want your life to be changed any more than what it is. He doesn't want someone else's life that's close to you to be changed. He doesn't want the name of Jesus to be mentioned unless it's as a curse word. Because there's power in that name. There's comfort in that name. There will be all types of pressures, spiritual, physical, that will try to silence you, that will try to get you to stop growing in your faith, stop believing in Jesus Christ, stop believing in what God wants to do in your life, and we have to obey God. That's why the Bible says, draw nigh unto him, and he'll draw nigh unto you. Again, excuse me, I mean, we have an adversary. The Bible tells us that. God warns us of that. But it's so good to know that we're on the winning side. It's so good to know that we have the power of the Holy Spirit working in our life. We have the grace of Christ upon our life, that, you know what? There's nothing that we can't do that God calls us to do. There's nothing that we cannot say that God calls us to say. Again, it's a wonderful thing. Nobody likes opposition. Nobody likes resistance, but it just reminds us I'm going in the right direction. Now, it's not to cause us to cause God's people to be full of pride, thinking, yep, I'm going in the right direction, everyone's going in the wrong direction. It just lets us know, okay, I'm going in the right direction. I'm going in the direction that God wants me to, and he's going to help me to keep going in this direction as I try to help other people see that they need to turn around. Again, that's what they wanted the apostles to stop doing, is pointing people to Christ who can turn their life around.